Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. Have you ever been betrayed? Has someone who you love and minister to ever turned on you unexpectedly? Unfortunately, this happens. And the question for us is, how do we deal with this type of betrayal? Today in our study in 1 Samuel 23, we will see a lesson on betrayal in the story of David and the city of Keilah. With our story on betrayal, here now is Pastor John.
1 Samuel 24, it is one of life's great ironies. It is one of life's real mysteries. It is one of life's inevitable realities. That is, sometimes, oftentimes, the people that you do the most for or care about or share with, or give to, sometimes, oftentimes, those are the very people that will suddenly turn on you, or cruelly turn against you. It is an inevitable reality of life, that is the way it is and always will be, at least on this side of eternity. People that one day cry, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, as he rode through the streets of Jerusalem on the back of the donkey. A few days later, in the same city, they would cry, crucify him. We will not have this man rule over us. Ah, the fickleness of humanity. It's crazy. It's insanity. The way that sometimes, oftentimes, the people that you give to and care about and share with will sometimes do you in or seek to take you down. Now Jesus, in talking to his disciples, said, these things I have spoken unto you, that you be not offended. Or, literally in the Greek, that you be not scandalized. I don't want you guys, Jesus said to his boys in the upper room before he was crucified, I don't want you to be scandalized. You need to know that they're going to put you out of the synagogues. And they're going to haul you off. It's going to happen. See, the Bible is a book that lets us know the hard, cold facts of life. That we won't be scandalized, shocked, taken back, upset when things come down. We ought to be forewarned and prepared. And in our story, in our text, we see an illustration of this very reality. A story of how people that you help out and sacrifice for can oftentimes be the very ones that take you down or attempt to. Check out this story. It's an interesting one as it relates to David. We read in 1 Samuel 23. Did I say 24? Well, turn back a page, please, to chapter 23, verse 1. Then they told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah," which was a city in Judah, an Israelite city in the lowlands of Judah. David, as you know, at this time, he was not yet king of the land. In fact, he was being hunted down by Saul, who was the king of Israel. Saul was wanting to do David in. He was threatened by him. He felt this animosity toward him. And Saul was determined to destroy David. And now David is on the run. And while he's on the run, this word comes to David. Hey, the men of Keilah, a city in Judah, they're being attacked by the Philistines. The Philistines, of course, were the perpetual enemies of the people of Israel. And their attack, plus the Philistines are ripping off, verse 1 says, their food supplies. They're robbing their threshing floors where the grains are threshed out, where the food is produced. That's serious, man. The Philistines are on the attack against the men of Keilah, the city of Keilah, and the threshing floors are being robbed. In those days, you couldn't just go to Roadhouse Grill to pick up a burger or a steak or whatever, or go to 7-Eleven or Albertsons. Man, if your threshing floors were being ripped off, you were in big trouble. These were perilous times. These were brutal days for the men of Keilah when the Philistines made their way to attack that city. Well, David, verse 2, he inquired of the Lord. I like David. He does what we ought to, what we get to. He asks the Lord what he ought to do. Shall I go and smite these Philistines? The Lord said to David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. So David tells his men, who at this time number 600. We talked about them last week in our study Wednesday night. Remember those guys that were in debt, distressed, and discontent? They gathered themselves around David. They became the army of David while David is a fugitive, running from Saul. These guys, these ragtag renegades, are a lot like you, a lot like me, distressed, discontented, in debt. And they gathered around David, just like we have gathered around the greater than David, Jesus Christ. Well, these guys, they heard about this, that David was going to attack the Philistines who were coming against the men of Keilah. And David's men protested. Behold, verse 3, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? David, what are you thinking? His men said protestingly. We're afraid. We've got problems here. Saul is after us. We're on the run. We're under attack ourselves. What do you mean that we should now engage in battle the Philistine? We've got our own problems, David. We can't do this. We can't risk that. We're already in trouble. We can't expose ourselves to that kind of danger. Not at this time, David. Be reasonable. So when David heard that, I like this, verse 4. David didn't rebuke his men for their lack of compassion or their little faith. He didn't give a sermon to them, or he didn't come down on them. But what David did do is he went back to the Lord once more. He heard their concern. My guys are saying that this would be a foolish move. I better go back and check with the Lord once more. So he inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered him, verse 4, and said, arise, go to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thy hand. Go for it, David. I want you to do just that. So David did just that. He and his men, verse 5, made their way to Keilah, and they fought with the Philistines, and brought away the Philistines' cattle and smote the Philistines with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. God gave David and his boys victory. The Philistines were smitten. Their cattle were taken. It was a grand day for David and his men, you see. Well, it came to pass, verse 6, when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech the high priest who died in the previous chapter, because remember, David lied. Do you recall the story? If you don't, it's in a previous chapter. Now his son, Abiathar, came to David, and he had the ephod in his hand. Well, what's an ephod? Well, it's a vest that the high priest wore. Part of the holy garments that the high priest uniquely wore. And this vest had attached to it the breastplate, which was a piece of metal upon which were the 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And that comprised the Urim and the Thummim. What's that? You're really confusing me. Well, Urim and Thummim, lights and perfection, was the way the high priest could approach God and determine God's will by the way these stones would light up, and they would thus spell certain words as these stones lit up on the high priest's breastplate attached to the ephod. All that's to say this. This ephod was a way for men to find out God's will in Old Testament days. So now the high priest comes with the ephod, which would be a tool to discover God's plan, to determine God's will, you see. Now it was told Saul, the story continues, the plot thickens. Saul heard word that David was come to Keilah, the city that David set free, liberated from the Philistines. And Saul said, God hath delivered David into my hand, for David is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. We're not talking taverns here. We're talking, Saul said, this is great news. God is with me, Saul said mistakenly. Because now David's in Keilah, and that city has gates, and David's inside. And he's enclosed and he's trapped. And now I'm going to get David. So what then Saul did was, Saul called, verse 8, all the people to go to war, to go to Keilah. Now note this, you Bible students. He mobilizes the people of Israel. He gathers his troops around him to go to war to Keilah. Ostensibly, the men would think, we're going to war to fight against the Philistines. Keilah is surrounded by the Philistines, controlled by the Philistines, and now Saul wants us to go. You see, they wouldn't have heard the news yet that Keilah was already set free by David and his ragtag renegades. There was no CNN. There was no internet. There was no Fox News, you see. But that wasn't Saul's plan. He was really going, the last phrase, to besiege David and David's men. That's why he was really going. But he didn't make that known. How do we know? The next phrase, verse 9. David knew, though, that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. Are you with me? So Saul got his armies mobilized to go war against what the armies thought would be the Philistines at Keilah, but it was really to get David. And David, verse 9, knew that this was Saul's secret plan, that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. So David, verse 9, said to Abiathar the priest, bring the ephod, that we might know what God's will is, you see. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake, to get me. God, verse 11, will the men of Keilah deliver me up into Saul's hand? Will Saul come down as I've heard? O Lord God of Israel, David said, I beseech thee, tell thy servant, And the Lord said, Saul will come down. It's true what you've heard. Saul's on his way. Well, David said, verse 12, well then, will the men of Keilah, in whose city I am, will they deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee. They're going to put you into the custody of your enemy. The very ones that you helped out, the very ones that you set free, the very ones that you risked your lives for are going to turn you, David, over to your enemy. Well, David, in hearing that, verse 13, and his men, which were about 600 now in number, they arose and departed out of Keilah and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah. What an amazing story. Here is a guy, David, who risks everything. He risks his men who might rebel against him. He risks losing his own life in this battle against the Philistines. He risks everything to do something which would help the men of Keilah, to set them free, to liberate them from the Philistines, you see. And now, these same guys that were helped out by David and David's boys are going to turn David over to Saul, David's enemy. Folks, gang, that's life. This is what happens. Oh, I wish it didn't. I wish I could say to you today, nobody's going to betray you. The people that you help out, share with, give to, love on, they're going to be so appreciative all of your days. But that would be untrue and unfair of me to so say to you. The reality is that people that you do care for, help out, and give to are sometimes, maybe oftentimes, not only not going to appreciate what you've done, but are actually going to castigate you or come against you. It's absolutely true. Well, if that be so, if that's the way people are, then I think one might say we have reason to be caustic, cynical, to keep people at arm's length, to not be too engaged or too involved with people. We ought to put walls up and keep our distance from folks if this is the way it's going to be. That's the way many of our countrymen are feeling right now as of last week. You saw the story. You heard the news. An amazing Gallup poll was done in the Arab world. 61% of the Arab world believes that no Arabs were involved in the September 11th World Trade Center towers attack. They believe 61% of the Arab world, 61%, 61 believes that it is Jewish propaganda and American lies. In fact, in the Gallup poll that was on the front page of USA Today, many of you saw, most of you have heard about, it was amazing how hated we are in the Muslim world. And the nation that hates us the most, only 28% of the people in this country that I'm about to mention, only 28% have an even slightly favorable view of America. 28%. That means 72% can't stand our guts. What nation am I talking about? Kuwait. The nation that in 1991 we went over to rescue in the Gulf War to set free from Saddam Hussein's Iraqi army. You remember the Gulf War, most of you. We went over and spent multiplied billions of dollars and risked thousands of lives in a war that could have been even more brutal and devastating than Vietnam, but it wasn't by God's mercy and grace. Fact of the matter is, we laid it down. We gave it up. We went to set the Kuwaitis free. And now they hate us passionately. And we say, well, if that's the deal, I mean, if we're going to spend multiplied billions of dollars and risk thousands of American lives, why bother? If that's going to be the perspective of other people, why bother? Why even go there, you see? But it is not just over there. This was in our Oregonian on Friday. Amazing. Karen Davis of the United Poultry Concern, and I quote, listen to this, quote, in talking about September 11th, I think it is speciesist to think that the September 11th attack on the World Trade Center was a greater tragedy than what millions of chickens endured that day. I want to read this again. Quote, I think it is speciesist to think that the September 11th attack on the World Trade Center was a greater tragedy than what millions of chickens endured that day and what they endure every day because they cannot defend themselves against the concerted human appetites arrayed against them. I hate to say it, but I think she's fouled up, quite frankly. I mean, it's not just over there, it's also here. People don't think straight and get mixed up. And she says that the chickens that die is a greater tragedy than, I don't know, I don't get it, quite frankly. But it makes you say, whether it's over there or right here or wherever it might be, why bother? Why even go there? Why even help out or risk stuff or be in the place of vulnerability? Why even do it? Well, three reasons I'd like you to think through. Three reasons I'd like you to jot down if you're a note taker. Three reasons I'd like you to be aware of. Three reasons I'd like you to pray in as it relates to why we should bother, even though the reality is, as David discovered, rescuing the men of Keilah only to find himself betrayed by them, turned over to Saul, but he escaped. Well, three things. First of all, number one, why should we continue on? Because number one, present satisfaction. That's why.
Present satisfaction. That is the first reason that we should help someone, even though they might betray us. We obviously don't have time to explore this reason on our program today, but Pastor John will explain this to us in detail next time. We hope you can join us then.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com. That's johncorson.com.
Pastor John has often encouraged us to spend time each day contemplating the Word of God. One great way to do this is with a daily devotional. Pastor John has put together three daily devotionals that cover the entire Bible. A Pillar by Day and A Day of Feasting are taken from the Old Testament. A Day's Journey is a devotional from the New Testament. Each daily devotional has 365 short meditations and are presented in John's insightful and practical style. You may order each daily devotional from our website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.